Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's the Football Fix World Cup Edition.
As Mother Russia has started against Saudi Arabia, World Cup 2018 is on.
I must break it.
I do not think Ivan Drago is actually playing.
Drago.
Yeah. The Mother Russia, who I'm sure did nothing that was in any way illegal whatsoever in order to secure the rights to World Cup 2018. It starts in Moscow today, rolls through the rest of the month, and the United States of America is not in the World Cup.
It's so difficult. It really is, right? I mean, just to think that the United States of America were not in a major sporting event in the world. I understand that it's soccer. I understand that, yes, even though it has expanded its profile here in the country, right, maybe it hasn't reached the type of interest that most people have for the game of football or basketball or whatever it may be. But just the fact that this country, being one of the biggest countries in the world, freedom breeds athletes. It does. And yet we're not in the World Cup.
Come on.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That's Klinsmann, an outrage.
Klinsmann and Ari, and Bruce Arians. I almost said Bruce Arians. Bruce Arena. I blame you both. Let's go.
Unbelievable.
That's bad. Okay.
Uruguay. Uruguay is in, and the United States of America is not.
We had three amazing conversations today, Sam Bradford, Chase Edmonds, and Justin Pugh. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to any of those, download the app on your phone for Arizona Sports, or get to arizonasports.com at some point and jump on that today, because they were great football conversations and just great people to kind of get to know. To see these guys, we want to thank the Cardinals so much for their hospitality this week, because this is our last mini camp broadcast. You can get Cardinals season tickets by calling 602-379-0102 or visiting azcardinals.com.
Uruguay's good.
I want to. This shocked me, this story. And since you actually played for Bill Belichick, I want to know if this grabbed you, okay?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, they haven't started minicamp yet. They're still wrapping up OTAs. And it was the final two voluntary organized team activities this week. And Bill Belichick has done something shocking for the last week of OTAs.
Yes.
Number one, he took the team to Fenway. Not to a game, but they went to Fenway Park just to kind of experience history. Then, yesterday, and I think it was yesterday, they did something even stranger, but in their third to last OTA, I don't know if you have a phrase for that since you love to say penultimate.
Yes.
But the third to last OTA,
no.
He then decided to go super old school, laid out leather helmets on the practice field. Every digital clock was covered up in the team meeting room. He aired black and white recordings of old football plays and broke them down for the players. Then they broke for lunch, and instead of having the full lunch menu that they usually do, it was hamburgers and hot dogs. And he walked them through what a 40s, 50s, or 60s training camp, mini camp, other than, of course, violating the CBA, would have been like for the players. And then afterwards told them the last 2 days of OTAs are canceled. Go home and we'll see you at mini camp.
I don't even know where to begin on this one, Basinonians. I do not. I can tell you one of two things are going on here with Bill Belichick, okay? One of two things. Number one, he's attempting to give or offer an olive branch to his players. Listen, how many guys have we heard from now that have actually left Danny Amendola, actually left the Patriots locker room and said, you know what, there's just no fun. There's just no fun there. They're not having fun. It's not fun to play football there, right? Throwing stones as they go on their way out the door. And even Rob Gronkowski has hinted to the fact that, you know what, he's tweeted and subtweeted, and he's hinted to the fact that, you know what, it isn't fun to actually play for the New England Patriots. So maybe this is an attempt by Bill Belichick to actually offer an olive branch saying, look, we can have fun here, or, which I think it is, Bill Belichick is being incredibly sarcastic.
Why that?
He is one of the most sarcastic individuals you'll ever be around. I kid you not. He's very, very low-key. He's down here. He's monotone. There's no doubt about it. But when he does start to get on you, he uses sarcasm to do it. To this day is one of the reasons why I hate sarcasm. You know I love playing for Bill Belichick. I loved playing for Bill Belichick.
I hate sarcasm, too.
And would do it all over again, right? But you know what, Bill? Honestly, the one problem I had with Bill Belichick is, listen, coach, if you have something to say, say it. Don't use sarcasm to say it. Just say it. So, you know what? I think this could be a sarcastic finger in the eye, metaphorically speaking, where he's just like, oh, you say we don't have fun here? Look how much fun we're having. Because we all know, Basinonians, we all know playing the game of football, especially at the highest level our species could generate, the fun is in playing the game the right way with intensity. That's what's fun about it. Not going out onto the field. We're just going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time out here. We're going to go play some football, man. It's going to be so fun. The fun is being serious and intense. That's what's fun. Not the, we're going to go out there and grab some butt. That's what we're going to do. It's not fun. Playing the game of football is fun because it allows you to do something you typically can't do out on the street. And that's tap into the primal side. The primal side of your creation. Fun. We're just going to go out there and play some football. We're going to have a good time doing it, dude. I'm going to bet on the fact that this is a sarcastic approach by Bill Belichick. Like any reporter asks him about it, what's he going to say? You didn't see what we did in the OTAs? We're having fun here. That's my bet. We'll see.
Why haven't the Cardinals asked you back? I don't quite understand. Yeah. Hopefully you can speak soon. Join Aaron Maloney and 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station this Saturday from 11 to 1 at the AT&T store, located on the northwest corner of Baseline and McClintock in Tempe. We'll be giving away D-backs tickets. We'll be giving away Jurassic World tickets, Fallen Kingdom passes, and more. Plus, you can check out a great deal on the new LG V35 ThinQ. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. Comeback fell short. Greinke picked up his first home loss since August. Is the world coming to an end? Dodgers are only two games back. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? Chase Edmonds? Yeah, Chase. Ray. Spent the game of football. Ray, respect, proving yourself right. Forget about proving others wrong, Chase. Yeah.
Coming up at 9:30 today, we're going to review all the stuff that we learned at Cardinals minicamp. And one of the things is just what a great kid Chase Edmonds is. And he's your Pantera call-out. It's driven by AutoNation Ford Scottsdale. This doesn't happen a lot across football. Really cool of the Cardinals to invite us as we are live at Cardinals headquarters in their broadcast studio for Cardinals minicamp. And this is the last day. So Cardinals practice going to start here in about 2 hours or so. And as we got to know Chase Edmonds, that kid was unbelievable to get to know. And Wolf's point was, without prompting the famous phrase of Ron Wolfley, do not go out there and try to prove other people wrong, because what happens when you do it? Then you've got nothing else to prove and you're done. Prove yourself right. He said that on his own and said a high school coach had told him that a long time ago.
Wow.
And he carried that with him forever. So that was pretty impressive.
That is 12 years right there, Douglas.
Yeah, we haven't had somebody jump on that.
Yep.
Unfortunately, this happens quite often in baseball, but boy, it seemed to hurt more last night.
And the 2-2 pitch. Here it is. He struck him out swinging. And the Pirates hang on to get the win.
The Arizona Diamondbacks take a 2-0 lead on somewhat of a gift home run. I say gift home run because it's not like David Peralta didn't hit it hard. But then the ball flew out to left field. Meadows had it hit his glove and then bounce over the wall. Should have been caught. Not a painful error in the sense of obvious, but a major league outfielder's got to make that play. And it bounces over for a home run, and that's the only thing the Diamondbacks were able to do to Tyone. And then, finally getting to the bullpen in the ninth inning, Diamondbacks get two runners in on a John Jay two-run double. Then they load the bases after that. Jake Lamb at the plate. It wasn't one of those horrible strikeouts where you just throw things and get all bent out of shape, but because he fought. He battled. He fouled off a bunch of balls. It was just a great, great at-bat for both sides. And unfortunately, the pitcher won. And Torey Lovello, after the game, although upset at some of the things that happened in this game, understood the fact that, hey, they fought through the end.
One of those games, unfortunately, I feel like we ran out of time and ran out of innings. We were closing the gap quickly and added on a couple runs in the ninth and had some really nice approaches. So I was happy to see that and made that ninth inning very, very exciting by not shutting down and being engaged and getting runners on base. Like I said, we just ran out of time.
You know, once again, win the series, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. Get back to winning series, period. And yet at the same time, as soon as I say that, I think of Zach Greinke being on the hill. I think of the fact that you had already won two games in this three-game series. I think of the fact that the Pirates were 6-18 going into yesterday. 6-18. Those are Diamondback numbers from May right there. They were struggling, the Pirates, mightily, right? You're playing at home, and you've got Zach Greinke on the hill. I got greedy. And you know what's great about that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that you can get greedy again with the Arizona Diamondbacks. The expectation is back. That's the great thing about it. The expectation that the Diamondbacks can win games. The expectation that the Diamondbacks can actually come back once they get down by three runs or more. We've seen that happen as well, right? The offense is back. The lineup is back, posting a crooked number, and I mean a filthy crooked number, like a 4 or a 5, is not ridiculous for this team anymore. So when they were down 5-2, and suddenly they came back and made it a game in that ninth inning, hey, listen, to me, that was expected and not a surprise. But overall, yeah, I got greedy.
The big issue was Zach Greinke's second inning. Torey Lovello,
I thought maybe it was a strike three pitch. It could have changed the entire dynamic of that inning, and he didn't get it. And it looked like after that, his stuff told me that he might have lost a little focus. So I don't know that for sure, but that's my observation right now. And that stuff happens. You know, Zach's been around for a long time, and that just shows you how frustrating this game can be at times. And I mean, I know he ended up giving up 4 runs, which wasn't the end of the world, and he rebounded to do what he could. So, unfortunately, it cost us 4 runs, and that stuff happens. An umpire can make a mistake. I don't know if it was a ball or a strike. I just know it was very, very close.
I like that he said, hey, there was an issue there, but he's putting that on Greinke. I mean, he said, I think he lost focus.
As he should.
And that's a strong statement. We joke about this. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, Derek Hall's going to join us. And it has been a funny little bit we've been playing with the Diamondbacks, in which every Tuesday the Diamondbacks win before the front office comes on. Every Wednesday the Diamondbacks lose, and then Derek Hall has to come on and explain it in his Thursday morning 8:45 appearance. This is starting to get not funny anymore, though. And I bring this up of, okay, what is it? Most Wednesdays, not every single one, but most Wednesdays are day games.
Yeah.
Is there a focus problem on Wednesdays? Is there something going on where the pitchers are not having their best stuff? What are they doing on a Tuesday night? What are they doing on a Wednesday morning? Why did it take the offense so long to get rolling? I mean, I think we're officially at the point where nobody throws in the towel on a Wednesday, but you start changing your approach a little bit. You start saying, okay, we need to figure out what are we not doing on Wednesdays that we do other days of the week. And I only bring it up because it's a normal day game day.
Yeah.
If you're having problems Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, that's almost always night game stuff. So then you're used to that. But there is a little bit of Wednesdays are a different day on the baseball calendar. It's usually a getaway day or
sure.
It's usually a day game. And something's happening on Wednesdays where they struggle.
I don't know, but you know, I do know that when you play an early game on the East Coast, back when I was playing the game of football, right, and we'd go back to the East often, being in the NFC East, even though we were the Phoenix/Arizona Cardinals all the way back when I was playing here, I can tell you, it just throws your body clock off. It does. There's no getting around it, and I just wonder if that's the case here. I just want to go back to something, though, that Torrey Lovello actually said right there about Zach Greinke, and it's a true statement, yet at the same time, you can never accept it if you're a professional athlete. Yes, he lost focus. He got hosed on a call, right? Something bad happened to you. Listen, when you compete at the highest level our species can generate, something bad happening to you is going to happen in almost every game you play. I don't care what it is. Hockey, baseball, soccer, football, lacrosse, I don't care. Something bad is going to happen to you. You have to shake it off. You have to, and yet I know how difficult it is to do because you're a human being. I understand that, but you have to shake it off. Otherwise, it's going to sit there and nip at you the entire game, and you can lose focus. Every professional athlete does that from time to time. It happens, and I think it happened to Zach Greinke. I do. Yesterday, in that second inning, I think it happened to him. But at the same time, and I think Zach Greinke, I'd be so disappointed if he would not say this to you himself. But I think Zach Greinke knows I got to shake that off.
Yep.
Do your job.
And you know that's what happened. I can faithfully say I know that's what happened because look at the third inning, 1-2-3. Look at the fourth inning, a little bit of a switch there with a home run, but 1-2-3 in a sense four, and then started to get beat up after that again in the fifth. I mean, Zach, you got to be better. You got to be better. This week, we're qualifying you for the Chosen Son Ultimate Draft Experience in New York City. If you haven't entered already, text DRAFT right now to 620-620. Don't let that go in one ear and out the other. You could go to New York City to watch Suns history. Listen every day this week, today and tomorrow at 7:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for us to announce your name. Want to go to New York? Text DRAFT to 620-620 for the Ultimate Draft Experience. Coming up next, we watched practice yesterday, and then we listened to Coach Steve Wilks. Two huge takeaways. One, Ron Wolfley in a brand new Cardinals hat. Two, what Steve Wilks had to say about one of the favorite Cardinals. And it wasn't as pleasant as you might think. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Derek Hall, team president, CEO, Arizona Diamondbacks, in 10 minutes. Tonight, if you're wondering, hey, I gotta get Suns. Don't worry, we got Suns for you on your drive home. Or if you're still at work, try to cheat and listen from 4 to 5 today. Countdown to one. It's our second Suns Roundtable special featuring Burns and Gambo, Dan Bickley, and world champion Eddie House. Going to talk about the NBA draft 1 week away. 1 week away.
Yes.
I can't. I actually might want to. Have somebody in your family record your reaction, just in case it's not Aiden.
No, you know what? It's going to be DeAndre Ayton. I really do believe that, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. And until something changes, like Ryan McDonough does not draft DeAndre Ayton, that's what I'm going to continue to say. Period. Take all the drama out of the equation right there. It's going to be DeAndre Ayton. At the end of the day, on June 21st, the Phoenix Suns will have DeAndre Ayton as their center moving forward.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. One week from today. So yesterday, Wolf and I were at practice and watched a lot of practice. Wolf's still special, so media allowed on one side of the field, Ron Wolfley on the other side of the field watching practice. And number one takeaway, far and above anything from the quarterbacks, Steve Wilks.
The one thing I try to challenge Patrick with each and every day, and I talk to Redick about it as well, is that sometimes guys are so gifted that sometimes even at an 85-90%, they're better than the guys around them. And I used to tell Josh Norman the same thing. You got to learn how to compete against yourself. You know, it's not about the guys around you. You try to get better each and every day. So, you know, Patrick is trying to position himself long-term to one day be in Canton. And to be able to do that, you know, you got to start separating yourself even more. So that's the challenge I try to give them each and every day.
So I'm thinking I'm going to come in and I'm going to talk about Steve Wilks' energy, just watching him run around practice. I mean, it was crazy to watch a head coach of a National Football League team running around. He was running with guys, telling them to get back in the huddle. Let's go. And he's running with them. So that was I'm taking that away, so we're going to talk about that. And then I'm watching the quarterbacks. I think, okay, of course we're going to talk about that. And then I saw Chase Edmonds break one. And I thought, ooh, that's kind of fun. You know, the kid's in for David Johnson, all right. And then in the media session, Paul, you were there too, when Steve Wilks said that, I wasn't moving and I still froze in my tracks, that he challenged Patrick Peterson and said, you're already better than the guy you're covering 80 to 90% of the time just by existing. But if you really want to go to Canton, you're competing against yourself, not that guy. That was, wow.
Well, how does he get challenged in practice? Normally, the ones aren't going against each other, so for the most part, he's not going against Fitz. There's no Julio Jones out there. There's no A.J. Green out there. How does Patrick Peterson truly get challenged? There's Patrick Peterson, and there's everybody else in the defensive back room. So it's got to come down to himself. That's the only thing. And remember, I mean, this is Steve Wilks' wheelhouse. He goes back 20 years coaching defensive backs. This is what he knows. We had a chance to do a podcast yesterday with David Merritt, the defensive backs coach under Steve Wilks, and he was talking about the same thing, that, you know, you got to go back and you have to be your biggest critic on your own film. And this is the way they're going to try and get Patrick to achieve everything he still wants to achieve. He's still miffed he didn't end up on the All-Pro team. And so this is the approach.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, once again, Bruce Arians was a master at this, raising the ceiling of expectation for so many players. That's what he did. He challenged players. And yet, for some reason, I never really heard him get after Patrick Peterson. That's just me. Now, I think we all know why. Patrick Peterson, one of the best, if not the best. I think he's the best cover corner, man cover corner in the National Football League, especially man off, a technique that is hard to master, ladies and gentlemen. I think Patrick Peterson is the best man cover corner in the National Football League. But Bruce never seemed to get after him to raise his ceiling and challenge him. And I'm sure that he did privately from time to time, ladies and gentlemen. But that's what Patrick has got to do. Patrick has got to challenge himself.
And you know, the other thing, guys, and this has been maybe one of my biggest takeaways so far in the offseason, I've talked to players about this and some of the coaches, they have not hesitated to throw at 21. The offense has purposely gone his way at times. They say, hey, no, there's no such thing as a no-fly zone in practice. We're going at you. We're going after you, at least trying to present a challenge to Patrick Peterson.
I like hearing that, because he also made the Josh Norman reference. And I think all of us that follow football know there's no comparing Josh Norman to Patrick Peterson as people. But it is a relevant topic to talk about who Steve Wilks is and what he did with Josh Norman and how he challenged Josh Norman and what Josh Norman became just simply on the football field. And to hear Steve Wilks talking about it with us, because you could hear that was a typical Steve Wilks quote, in which he's not subdued, because what he says has meaning, but it's not, I'm not raising my voice up and down. I'm not doing this as if I'm grandstanding. I'm just saying, here's what I said. But you know, it's that if you had this type of father, I did. If my father got mad at me, I didn't really think much about it. If my dad ever said the phrase, I'm disappointed in you, I'm a blubbering mess. I still don't know if I can handle it right now. I mean, that is the worst thing in the world. And Steve Wilks, it sounds like he delivered a message like that to Patrick Peterson of, this is where you have to be if you really want these dreams to come true of Canton, Ohio. And right now, you probably will go. Probably, but you don't have the numbers. You're just hoping people know that you're good and vote for you. But if you want to create your own opportunities, you've got to do it every day. And I love the fact that he stood up and took on Patrick Peterson.
Well, I think of like the Texans game a year ago where he's on DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, for the most part, he checked DeAndre Hopkins, but there's a few lapses. And that's what he's, if there is one thing where he can get better, and Patrick has admitted this as well, sometimes he's so supremely talented, he'll lose focus. He'll have a guy thoroughly locked down. Oh, wait a minute. And then something will get away and get sideways. And that's all it takes for that one touchdown pass to ruin your outing as a lockdown corner, because that's all anyone will see in the final box score. That's all anyone will remember from that game, is if you gave up that touchdown catch. And all it takes is that instant, that single snap, and that's what he has to lock in on and try and remedy.
Really interested to see what Steve Wilks and Al Holcomb, the defensive coordinator, the new defensive coordinator, what they do with Patrick Peterson, right? I mean, we're going to see an awful lot of man. There's no doubt about that. I think we're also going to see cover three deep. I think we're going to see a lot more three coverages. Very, very similar to the Seattle Seahawks. Man free, where you play man across the board with a free safety in the middle of the field. Robber, where you do the exact same thing, but now you only rush four. And you actually drop a guy down low as a free hitter, a lurker, a robber, so to speak, that's looking for the ball. Or you go ahead and play three deep, right? A three deep zone. Whether you roll up the strong safety towards the strength, or you actually roll it up towards the weakness of the formation, right? That's cover six. But it's still a three deep zone, period. That's what they're going to do. For the most part. Now, they're going to change it up. There's no doubt. Sub package and third down is going to be changed up. But I think Patrick Peterson is going to actually get the opportunity to get his hands on more footballs. And the reason being is because I think they're going to play more cover three this year. A zone. Interesting.
Doug and Wolf Show. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. The hard-working player of the series is brought to you by Copper Point Insurance. Get to the point.
So, my hardest-working player of the series, he did not play in Game 1. A little bit of a struggle since the trade. But Games 2 and 3 of this Pirate series, John Jay, 5 for 9, a home run and 5 RBIs in this series, and the key two-run double that could have been a magic comeback in the bottom of the ninth yesterday. I'm taking John Jay. Paul?
That would be the obvious one there, no doubt about it. I tell you what, as I look up and down here, I'm just going to go with Goldie. I'm just going to go with Goldie and the fact that he's locked in right now, what he means to the team, the fact he's back. He's my vote.
I'm going with David Peralta. Everything David Peralta hits right now is coming off his bat at 111 miles an hour. He's barreling up everything right here. David Peralta, my hardest working player of the series.
Close. Oh, man.
No close.
I know. Still
that's just
no close.
Really.
I know. No, that's appropriate. Coming up next. It's not really funny anymore. Why are the Diamondbacks always losing on Wednesdays? Let's talk to Derek Hall, team president and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
It's funny.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Mr. Speaker! The president!
I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the president.
He's the president and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the chief.
Derek Hall.
The president.
On Now with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Santan Ford. Right on the price, right on the corner of the Santan 202 Freeway and Val Vista in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Good morning, Mr. President. How are you on this day after Wednesday?
You know, I don't know if it's funny or not, but it is happening, that's for sure. I think this is, what, now 11 or 12 years we've done this weekly segment, and it's never happened like this, but this year it has. And, you know, I can tell you, the night before, I was up till about 2 in the morning watching our game because I'm in New York for the owners' meetings, and I was already exhausted, so I was thrilled that we had a day game. then it looked like we were going to come back. I will say the one benefit is, one positive is, each week, although we're losing on Wednesdays, I feel like I always say to you guys, well, at least we won the series
in
this case.
If you the stat is, it's starting to get real. The Diamondbacks won their first two Wednesdays of the year.
Right.
And they haven't won since May or April 11th on a Wednesday. Two wins and then nine straight losses.
Yes.
And I kind of bring it up, Derek, because there is an issue of a day-night situation. Most Wednesdays are day games, not all of them. But right now the team has a 10-13 record during the day. That includes some Sundays and what have you. Is it time that we actually talk about it seriously, or do you still think it's a coincidence?
I do know. It's on me, that's for sure.
Yes.
You're wearing this one. Yeah, I'm wearing it for sure.
But
Wolf,
you are superstitious, are you not, D?
Right. Very. You know that. It scares me each and every. And people are starting to pick up on it because, you know, they obviously listen to you guys. But in my weekly chat last week on Twitter, I had probably three or four questions that were specifically about that. Like, why do you keep losing on Wednesdays? Is it because of you? And that's coming from you guys. So I have you to thank for spreading the word.
I'm glad we're here for
you. Tell us about the owners' meeting. What is on the agenda?
You know, it's been good. It's always good for all of us to get together, and especially here in New York at the central office. And the first day is always committees. And for me, you know, Ken serves on a committee. He's actually on two of them. He's on investment. He's on legislature. And then he's also on business, which we'll all be a part of. And then for myself, it's diversity and inclusion, social responsibility, and international baseball. But I'm so impressed with the continued growth, you know, here within these buildings, just the progressiveness, you know, the commissioner and his staff, and I'm blown away each and every time we get together to see just how we're taking steps forward.
There have been some crazy ideas thrown out in the media lately. You know about the pitch clock. You know about the discussion of putting a guy on first and second to start maybe the 10th or 11th inning. There was also a suggestion from Buster Olney the other day that only four pitchers per game. You really want to cut game time down. No more warming up outside of the bullpen, and you only get four pitchers. So you decide how you're going to use the four people you want to use. What are we close to some radical ideas actually getting through baseball ownership?
I don't think so, Doug. You know, we're all traditionalists. I mean, we really are, but we do want to speed up the game. I think the pace has definitely improved. I mean, you can see it's nearly 5 minutes that have been shaved off the average game time. Our games always seem to be very long at Chase Field. I don't know why. We've got to be one of the longest in baseball. But I do think that we've done a lot to try and kill the downtime, and that's really what we're trying to do. I think we want some more action in games. You know, you want balls put in play. Pace of play, I think, is correcting itself. But I don't think we need to go crazy yet. However, even as traditionalist as I am, you know, I kind of like the idea, I think we've talked about it before, of the put a runner on second base in extra innings. You know, they're doing it in the minor leagues. In some settings, it's been successful. International baseball does it. Work for WBC. I think it's fun. I mean, it brings some excitement, and it usually brings quicker closure.
Talk to us about the summer pass and how that is going, because we were out there yesterday, as a matter of fact. It's just awesome. It's just an awesome experience there and an energy that was there on a day game, as you know. So talk to us a little bit about the summer pass and how it's going.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys being out there again, and I got really positive feedback from your listeners who were there. It's been great. I mean, as you know, we sold out our quantity quickly again, just as we did the year before, just in a couple of days. And the show rate has been great. I mean, they could go to as many games as they want, as you know. And for the most part, they've been attending. And even for, like you said, a matinee game like yesterday, to see the crowd there, you know, and it was a very energetic crowd. I think it helped that it was camp day and you had some kids there. There's a lot of energy. Yeah. And for us to get back in that game, I mean, the fans stuck around. And for us to have a chance to win that game in the ninth, that was exciting baseball. But that's exactly why we have the summer pass, Ron, is to get people there, to sample it, to get in the habit of going,
right,
and hopefully have them become, you know, lifetime fans and come out to more games in the future.
Brilliant.
President and CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Derek Hall, joins us every Thursday at 8:45. And today he's joining us live from New York at the owners' winter meeting, or winter meetings, I don't know where that came from, at the owners' meetings that are taking place. I look out, it was 95 degrees on my drive into work today,
goodness,
and I'm saying the winter meetings. So when you look at the Diamondbacks right now, I don't know how this happened, but the Dodgers are only two games back. Are you looking over your shoulder? Are you worried about what the Dodgers may or may not be able to do at the trade deadline?
You know, I always do, and I'd be lying if I just said I didn't. But I don't think that the team is, and I don't think they should be. You know, I don't think the players really care. They have games to play. They know that. But I think we all knew it was a matter of time before they were back in it. You know, just too talented. They were banged up like we were. You know, they're getting healthier. They're playing good baseball, and they're right there. And you know, it's not just them. You know, the Rockies went through a bit of a bad period like we did. It seems like they're going to climb out of that. The Giants are going to be tough. And then if you're the Padres, you're looking up going, you know, we're less than six games back. I mean, this is pretty good. So that's exciting for, you know, competitiveness and for the rest of the summer. But I don't think we can focus on any other teams. We just have to focus on ourselves. It's going to be like mid-season acquisitions when we get these guys back. I mean, what a breath of fresh air. What a shot in the arm when Pollock comes back. Souza's finally in lineup. When we get Robbie Ray back, Shelby Miller, it's going to be great. So, I think their teams are probably watching us as well. And it's fun being around these guys because, you know, they come up and wow, you guys are playing great again. You know, and I'll remind them, we had a really rough 2 to 3 weeks. And they said, yeah, but you're hot again. So it's fun that they're all watching and, you know, just as we're watching them as well.
So, you know what? I know you love getting your squirrel on, right? I mean, you want it. Yes. You wanted yesterday's win. As badly as I wanted it. And Vetter James, of course, right? Zach Greinke struggled, as you know. He's been doing much better, of course, this year, pitching very, very well, as he did last year, of course. Zach Greinke, just give us a status report on Zach Greinke and your expectation for him going forward.
Sure. Wolf, I think we're all so spoiled with the way he pitches at home, and he really dominates at Chase. And this was just a little bit of a speed bump for him. It's going to happen. Yet there were flashes of his normal brilliancy. I mean, the guy had 7 strikeouts. You know, uncharacteristically, he had 4 walks. And he only allowed 5 hits, I think it was. So, you know, he still dominated in a sense, but a few balls were hit hard. But I don't worry about him at all. I mean, we see just competitive nature the same way he prepares all the time. If you want to give one guy the ball, you know, especially at home, it's going to be Zach Greinke. So no one's worried at all about Zach.
Do you have the onions to wear the Father's Day shirt at the owners' meetings?
Well, considering that it's more of a formal attire here, I do not have it on. But, that's Sunday, and that's pretty exciting. You think about what's going on this Sunday. Man, it's Bark in the Park or Dog Days of Summer with all of our dogs with PetSmart Patio. We've got the Play Catch on the Field special event, you know, the special ticket package. And then we've got the Hawaiian shirt. So, I mean, this is going to be a fun weekend. It's certainly nice that the Mets are coming in because we know there's still a lot of Mets fans in the Valley, and I think it's just going to be exciting. There's nothing, in my opinion, we talked about it, I think, last year as well, better than Father's Day at the ballpark. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a father, take kids to the ballpark or vice versa. If kids can take the father or, you know, the mother arranges for it, whatever, there's nothing like it. Father, grandfather, uncle, brother, Father's Day is special, and especially at the ballpark.
D, be safe, man. We appreciate you coming on, and God bless you. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
You got it, guys, and don't be afraid to make it a Wednesday or Friday that we speak sometimes.
Hey, no
change
problem. And
we ought to do that just once. Change it up. Yeah. Just see.
Let's see what happens.
I agree. Let's see what happens. Maybe we put it on a Friday. We'll talk about
that. You're coming on tomorrow if you end the DH today at the owners' meetings, all right? Get rid of the DH, you're on.
Well, then I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Derek Hall joining us as he does every Thursday at 8:45. Again, dbacks.com for tickets, and at the same time, you could listen right here to Mets D-backs tonight at 6:40 on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. In case you missed it, Sam Bradford earlier today made you happy that the Cardinals have Sam Bradford. We'll explain next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.